Circumstances don't matter. Only, underline, 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 only your state of being matters. Big fat period. Exclamation point. When someone says, well, you know, I simply got into the state where I believed I would simply receive more checks. Your physical, logical, reasonable mind goes, well, where the heck are they supposed to come from? I haven't done anything to earn that money. What are you saying? That some stranger's just suddenly going to get into his head to pop a check in the mail to me for no reason whatsoever, and I'm just going to go to my mailbox and open a check that comes from a total stranger that's suddenly giving me exactly what I want? Yes! Yes, that is what's being said. When you stop needing it to make sense, then you'll make dollars.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. It's Thursday, June 21st, 2007. I'm Nicole Whitney, your host for the hour, and my guest, he's back after a long time away. Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar, is back, and we're going to be talking about my favorite alien, Bashar, who he channels and has done so for many years, and also a big event happening this weekend in L.A., but you can attend from anywhere in the world. I'll be there. Stick around to hear from Bashar and find out more about that. This hour, here we go now to our interview with Daryl Anka and Bashar. You channel Bashar from somewhere. Where is he from?
He has said that, well, he's in a different, I guess, parallel universe or dimensional plane, but in their reality, they're just as physical to themselves as we are in our reality. I guess he has said if you overlap our physical universe with their universe, their civilization, their solar system, so to speak, would be about 500 light years in the direction of the Orion constellation. They cannot see our system from their reality. They have to make a vibrational shift to come into our dimension to perceive us physically, and we would have to do the same in order to physically perceive them, but there is an overlap. And their world, in their ancient language, which they no longer use because they're telepathic, is called Esasani, which means place of living light. And they do have a physical world that we could actually visit if we made a shift to their reality.
Has he ever told you what he looks like?
Yes, he has described himself quite often on several occasions, and in actual fact, in when I do the channeling, and sometimes in dreams, I will actually visually see what they look like, see what they're describing. They are, as they describe themselves, a hybrid race, which means they're made up of, in a sense, artificially from genetic material from humans and other species. But he's described himself as humanoid, about 5 feet tall, relatively thin, very white skin, very large eyes, no hair on the head of the males. The females do have hair, so it tends to be white, although there are some exceptions. He has said that probably the closest physical analogy we might make on Earth would be to think of a very short, very thin, very pale sort of Mongolian person.
Hmm. Well, there's the visual. And why, out of all the dimensions and universes and probably, you know, forms of life out there in reality, why here, why us?
Well, again, we are actually genetically connected to them, according to what he's explained. In a very literal sense, we are their cousins, we are their ancestors, and therefore they feel they have a bond with us. And understand what we're going through in terms of this time of transition on our planet and are willing to help us because we're basically family.
How does Bashar term it as far as what is this transition going on our planet right now?
Well, he certainly sees it as a general spiritual awakening. He sees that more people are involved in the idea of exploring their spirituality, exploring different levels of consciousness. people are beginning to realize that, you know, we're not alone in the universe, that there are other intelligences out there. We're expanding our concept of what it means to be alive on Earth, and that we are connected to other beings, other intelligences throughout the universe, both just physically and also on a deep spiritual level. And as he's explained it, when any civilization begins to open themselves up in that way to spiritual exploration and to their connection to creation, it sort of sends out a signal to them and other species that we're sort of ready for the next step. They treat that as an invitation to come and, in whatever way will not directly interfere with our process, to help us gently up that ladder with whatever information will be of best help to us. We're right at a threshold, according to him, where we're really crossing into a whole new reality, a whole new level of being, where not only will we hopefully have more understanding of ourselves as consciousness, as spiritual beings, but we'll also be able to interact with other consciousnesses as a result of our own expansion.
Well, that sounds promising and fun. I know we covered some of the Bishar basics of years ago when we talked to you, but for the hundreds of thousands of new listeners we've acquired since then, why don't we talk about how you first encountered Bishar?
Yeah, well, it began really about 33 years ago when I had two very close broad daylight UFO sightings here over Los Angeles where I live. And both times an equilateral black triangle. First time about 150 feet away, and the second time only about 60 or 70 feet away. And that experience, the experience of seeing broad daylight UFOs with witnesses at close range, got me moving in the direction of doing a lot of research on UFOs, because now that I had seen that those kinds of things were real with my own eyes, I wanted to find out more about them. And that kind of research eventually led me to different kinds of metaphysical books on psychic phenomena, on channeling, on all sorts of different things. And 10 years after the sightings, I actually was introduced to a channel who was working at that time. And after listening to the information coming from the entity through that channel for a while and feeling that it had a lot of good advice to offer, the entity actually offered to teach channeling for whoever was interested. And I went into the class not expecting to become a channel. It was just part of my continuing research. But about halfway through the 12-week course, different kinds of odd sort of symptoms began happening to me, and different kinds of weird sort of events. And at one point in the class, I got a telepathic hit during a meditation that sort of brought back a memory of having made an agreement somewhere before this life to do this with Bishar, that we were sort of part of the same soul, and that if I was ready to begin, he could actually make a telepathic connection with me and start speaking. And I had to think about that for a while, because I didn't know if I was hallucinating or if it was a side effect of the meditation or what it was. But ultimately, after thinking about it for a while, I realized that it really didn't matter if it was really an alien entity, something separate from myself, or if it was just another part of my own consciousness, that the channeling state was a real state that people could get in, and that in that state they were somehow capable of tapping into, you know, the greater source of information in the universe and bringing information through that could help people. And it was for that reason I decided to just go ahead and see where the channeling would lead, and now here we are 23 years later, and I've been all over the world with Bishar delivering his information.
Well, and thankfully so, because it's good stuff. Now,
thank you.
Bishar's energy is big.
Yeah, he's very direct. I often describe, you know, it took me a while to actually get used to the energy shift that would happen when the channeling would occur, and sometimes I describe it as trying to fit Hoover Dam through a garden hose. But after a little while, after a couple of years, I did get used to the energy, and the more I trusted it, the more I let go and surrendered to that experience, then the more energy of his was able to come through. But actually physically in a session with him, they often comment on how powerful the energy is that does come through. And I think it's an indication, a small indication, of exactly the level of existence they live on, the great energy that they actually give off. The frequency of their reality seems so much higher than ours, and that when they give that energy off, it's actually in some ways helping to invite us or induce us to match that frequency, and that's what in turn helps, along with the information, raise our vibrational level to something more closely matching theirs.
Mm-hmm. Entrainment.
Which is part of the process of uplifting us.
Right. Well, it's quantum physics, not airy-fairy foo-foo stuff anymore for us.
No, that's the one thing I really like about Bashar's information, is it's very grounded, very sort of down-to-earth, so to speak.
So tell me, you're having this amazing event.
Yes. He's doing something quite unusual. This Sunday he will be actually addressing what's going on with The Secret, as many people now are familiar with. That's spreading pretty rapidly, it seems. And so Bashar is going to address a lot of the ideas that The Secret talks about and how it relates to some of the things he's been talking about for 23 years.
Thank you all. Welcome. I'm just going to go right into it. So I just want to thank everyone that's here and everyone listening in. And please have a good time. And I'll see you all later.
Say good day to you this day of your time. How are you all? Oh, hey, thank you. Now, once again, we would like to take this opportunity, first of all, to thank each and every one of you, and all of you together collectively, who are participating in the co-creation of this transmission. Once again, each and every time, you are willing to participate in this kind of communication. It forms not only a link and a bridge between your world, your frequency, your dimension, your reality, and ours, but also, by creating such a link, it creates a new dimension, a new reality, a new vibration that will grow and change and become a space, become a reality in which we can one day both interact more and more directly. So we thank you. So you are generating the effect yourself out of your own energy, but what you are doing is you are relying on your belief system, which sometimes can be unconscious, to attract to you the symbol that best reflects the vibration within you that will allow you permission to be yourself. We understand that many times some of the belief systems and ideas and definitions that you are brought up believing in on your planet will create certain notions and patterns within you that makes it seem as if you do not have the ability to be who you say you wish to be, that there are obstacles or challenges in your way that seem to prevent you sometimes, as we hear it from you, from really becoming the full person you wish to be, from really having the full passionate life you wish to have. This is not empirically true, but we understand that if you have a belief system that says it is that way, then for you it is true. Because even though there is no real empirical physical reality, your experience of physical reality is real. That is the only thing that is real. Experience is the reality, not the reality you think you're experiencing, just the experience itself. And when you gravitate towards, attract yourself to, or attract to you, some particular idea of information, some particular technique of delivery, even including this idea of channeling,
or some object such as a crystal or some book or some ritual or some meditation. All of those things are just a portion of yourself writing you a permission slip to let you finally be in a space that's safe for you to really express your abilities, to be more of who you are. The things themselves do nothing for you. You are doing it all. But if you feel you need an excuse to do it, a permission slip from the universe to do it, then that's what all of these tools and techniques are for. You attract what reflects the belief system within you that makes it seem as if the technique is giving you the ability to do what you want to do, but you're simply giving it to yourself. You are giving yourself permission through the symbol to be more of who you are. So please remember that when and if, at any time, you have a question in your head, what technique is the best for this? What tool should I use? All the things you're ever going to find, all the things you're ever going to have recommended to you, all the things you're ever going to be attracted to are really nothing more than a variation of a permission slip that you are giving to yourself to reveal to yourself, through the particular symbology of that slip, what kind of pattern exists, or what kind of belief system exists, or what kind of definition exists
yourself
within your consciousness. Now, ultimately, you will understand that if this is what these things are, if they are nothing but permission slips, then certainly, as you grow, as you learn, as you expand, you will realize that any technique, any tool will work, will do the same thing, that they're all valid in that context, they're all equal, one is not better than another, and in general, you will also arrive at a point where you will realize that you don't really need them to simply make a change within yourself just because that's what you wish to do. You will simply shortcut the process, not need the technique, not need the tool, you will simply say, well, I'll just choose. I will just choose to be that way. I will just choose to be that state of being. I don't need any other tool, any other technique, other than the recognition that what I choose will be so. What I choose is up to me. And if I wish to attract a technique or tool to myself, because I feel it is fun, because I feel it will give me a reason to do what I wish to do, be who I wish to be, well, all well and good, so be it. You are the primary tool. You are the primary technique. The next thing we would like to bring up is how to allow this concept to sink in more deeply and how to form a relationship more clearly and more consciously with what many of you have for a long time called your higher self, this mysterious higher self. Where is it? Don't know. Is he up there? Is she over there? Don't know. How high? This high? This high? Don't know. What is the higher self? Thank you. Let's address this. So you have some definitions to work with, which again are nothing but what? Permission slips. That's all we're delivering here. Everything we say, everything we deliver to you is nothing but another form of permission slip. Take which one works for you. The ones that don't work for you, let them be. Physical mind cannot perceive how something happens. It can only perceive how something happened. One more time. It's a very important distinction, and I'll explain. Physical mind does not have the capacity to perceive how something happens. It can only perceive how something happened. But because the physical mind thinks it's coming up with these things, it then takes what happened and assumes that that's how things happen. And it's not. It's only what happened that time. And it thinks, well, if I do that again, I can make this happen. I can make that happen. No. You might get some degree of repetitional success with that philosophy, but it will never go beyond the parameters of what you observed in that particular happenstance, because what happened was designed to allow that particular thing to happen. And that particular thing doesn't necessarily require the same ingredients as something else. So when you may want something else to happen, when you may want to expand on what happened, you cannot use the same ingredients that made that happen, because then all you'll do is repeat the cycle and wonder why you're not getting anywhere. You have to allow the connection to your own higher self to be the one that will allow you to experience the reality that comes from the higher self, because the higher self is the only part of you that actually knows how things happen, because it's on the mountaintop. It has the broader perspective. It can see what's coming. It can orchestrate. You're in the valley as a physical being. From the physical perspective, your view is somewhat limited. But the idea is it doesn't matter. As we will discuss and point out, and as many of you have heard in The Secret, all you really need to do, to use the analogy they use of driving your car, is see the road just a few hundred feet ahead. You don't have to see the road all the way from your beginning to your destination. That's the higher self's point of view. So you don't have to know exactly how you're going to get there. All you need to know as the physical side of the personality mind is where you're at right now. The higher self will tell you, keep going. Turn left. Turn right. You're going to get there quicker this way. You're going to get there quicker that way. You need to stop for now. You need to take a rest. You need to take a bathroom break. Then get back in your car and keep going. That comes from the higher self portion of the total being that you are as a person, as a persona. Stop trying to figure it out, because you never will as a physical person. This is using the invisible to your advantage, and this is why you talk about such things as, well, you just have to take it on faith. No, you don't. It's really about knowing and understanding the nature of your actual existence, understanding the structure of the relationship, understanding how it is you have arranged yourself as a consciousness, and then simply using it in the same way that you use a telephone, a light switch, or any other device. And this allows you to lighten up your load, stop carrying so much baggage, stop trying to do your higher self job, and just do your own. That's why so many of you are so tired when you are trying to do certain things in a certain way. It's because you're trying to do a job you weren't designed to do. That's exhausting. Stop. You were not hired to do that job. Your higher self already has the job, and it's working for you perfectly. Work with it. Work with it, not against it, by trying to do the job it was designed to do. Just do the job you were designed to do, which is perceive what has happened and allow yourself to know that what has happened can be used by you to your advantage by maintaining positive meaning from your belief system into it. Allowing yourself to do that as physical mind is what will keep the communication lines open. Acting on your passion, acting on your excitement, always putting positive meaning into whatever happens is what will keep the lines open to your higher self to receive the communication, to know that you can take the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step, because whatever it is that does happen will always allow you to take the next step, no matter what it is, as long as you relate to it in the appropriate way as a physical mind, and don't attempt to relate to it in an inappropriate way as a higher mind yourself. Let the higher mind come through you and relate to it, but don't try to do the higher mind's job for it. it will always, always be difficult for you to do because you're not designed to do that. So again, higher self conceives. Physical brain receives. Physical mind perceives. That's it. In a nutshell, as you say, circumstances do not determine your state of being. Your state of being determines your circumstances. Now, what's key here, though, is to understand once again that because of the way the personality mind has been taught to think of its job, it will often hear that statement as, oh, well then, if I get into this state of being, I will create circumstances that will be exactly reflective of what I prefer. And if I don't see those, something's wrong. This is what must be avoided, is the assumption that circumstances, that the appearance of circumstances mean anything. Again, remember, they are neutral. It's what you put into them, from the state of being you choose to be in, that determines the effect of the state of being of your life, the quality of who you are, the level of your passion, not what the reflection looks like. So, taking this a step further, beyond the idea, beyond the mechanistic connective statement of it's not circumstances that determine your state of being, it's state of being that determines your circumstances, taking it a step further, you could actually help break that connection that doesn't serve you by restating this idea in a more definitive way. Circumstances don't matter. Only state of being matters. Circumstances don't matter. Only state of being matters. Now listen to the way that translates in your language. Circumstances don't matter. Don't materialize things. Only your state of being matters, materializes things. Circumstances don't matter. Only, underline, 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 only your state of being matters. Big fat period. Exclamation point. Close quote. Parentheses bracket.
Good day, Bashar.
And to you, good day.
I've heard you say several times the universe loves us unconditionally.
Existence, yes.
Could you provide a few ideas, a few examples of the mechanics of love, the nature of love, the behavior of love, the action of love, of the living conscious being that love is?
The best example we can provide is to illustrate and point out all these things at once in the statement, all that is, loves so unconditionally it will actually allow you to believe you are not unconditionally loved. That's how unconditionally loved you are.
This is my first time hearing you in person.
Oh, all right. It is our first time hearing you as well. Enlightenment, in the most simplest possible way I can state it, is simply the willingness to lighten up. If it is, in fact, your passion to share something of yourself with the world in some way, shape, or form, the very fact that you have the passion to do so tells you, by definition, there must be at least one person who needs to hear it, or you wouldn't have the drive. You wouldn't have the passion, because there are no accidents in creation. And if you exist and your true self is somebody that is passionately driven to share something, then the reason you are where you are when you're there is because there's somebody where you are when you are waiting to receive what you have to share. Because, as we have said, there are no one-sided coins. If you have the head, you gotta have the tail, or there's no coin. You can't have a head by itself. You can't have the tail by itself. If you got the head, you know there has to be a tail to the coin somewhere. But the only way you're going to find out that it's right on the other side of you is to give over to that passion so that you can function as the whole coin and thus have the other side revealed to you.
Morning. How many of you have listened to The Secret? Okay, good. See if you're doing your homework for today. We are going to start today a little bit differently than we normally do. We are actually going to play about a 15-minute segment of The Secret first.
The Secret to Money.
Whatever the mind can conceive, it can achieve. W. Clement Stone.
We'll go right into the channeling. Have a good time.
I'll say good day to you this day of your time. How are you all? All right. Thank you. We are engaging in this transmission, this day of your time, to discuss the principle, concepts, ideas that you have just listened to in this particular collective work that you have labeled on your planet, The Secret. We recognize that many of you have listened to this work. Many more will be listening to this work. This, of course, for many of you familiar with us, will contain many ideas and principles that will be familiar to you. Concepts that we have discussed and many other beings have discussed in a variety of ways for many years. Regardless of what might seem to be slight terminological differences, slight variations in presentation, you can sense, if you pay attention, that the principles are identical. The idea here to pay attention to most is that your civilization has arrived in its evolution of consciousness at a place and a time where a compilation like this, where a work like this can be created, has been created, and is spreading among your people. This simply indicates that you now have at your disposal, at your fingertips, a tool that you have created collectively from your collective consciousness that is designed, as we spoke of last night of your time, to function as a very, very strong and general representative permission slip to allow you to give yourselves permission to become more of who you are. In listening to that recording, the idea is to allow yourself to treat it, if you will, as a meditation, and to allow yourself to recognize what is familiar and to lock onto what is not and incorporate those ideas in one overall comprehensive and cohesive arrangement of these concepts that have been being discussed for many years. We congratulate your civilization
for having arrived at a place where now this kind of idea can be produced in your society and can be met with resounding reception. For many, many beings find themselves attracted to this. And you have seen this demonstrated on many levels of your media, where this idea is not only talked about in this format, but you are witnessing many other similar formats coming up from many different people who now are also recognizing these ideas are at the core of how to attract, how to create, how to manifest, how to experience the reality you prefer, that you believe is most harmoniously aligned with the being that you prefer to be, with your true natural self. The one thing that is also additionally wonderful about this is that you now have this available to you on a daily basis. And we would suggest that for those of you that may feel that you find it difficult to, quote-unquote, maintain a connection with these ideas, we would suggest that you avail yourself of this tool every single time, any single time you feel your focus waning, you feel yourself doubting, you feel yourself creating negativity. You have this now at your disposal in what for you is a technologically convenient form. And here really is the crux of the issue. How interested are you in changing your life? Really? Because again, as was said there, and as we have said for 23 orbits, your behavior, your actions are the key. You have heard in the segment that you just listened to, the individuals say, well, here is the secret to the secret. And they then discuss the idea about state of being, that you can simply choose to be happy for its own sake. And you can. We have said this many times. Without needing any other reason to do so. But now we would also like to share with you that there is also another secret to the secret. And if you wish, as an addition to what has been said in your recording, I could say then that there is a secret to the secret to the secret. Now, it's not that this was not said over and over and over again by us in the recording and by many other people. But it was said in ways that may not allow you to recognize it for what it is. It was said in general ways. It was said in illustrative ways. It was said in anecdotal ways. But now we are going to tell you very plainly. There is an underlying concept here that many of you may be missing out on because it hasn't been said plainly. Because we understand that because of many of the definitions and belief systems that many of you have been raised with, that some of those definitions may act as a filtering system that will not really allow you to hear clearly what the underlying fundamental concept here is. We know that many of you get it when we say, follow your passion, act on your passion. And when you have heard others say, follow your bliss, act on your excitement, act on your passion, behave as if. We know that you believe you get that much. But at the same time, in many of the discussions we have had with many of you, we also hear the idea of putting your trust in negativity, of doubting yourself, and saying, well, I am doing my best to follow my passion, but it doesn't seem to be working. Well, I'm doing my best to do this. I'm doing my best to do that. Here's the key that we find, in a sense, is lacking from what the energy is that you're attempting to apply when attempting to follow your passion. It's all well and good to recognize that following your passion, when you recognize it, is the thing to do. But what you may not also understand the importance of is that you also, here it is, are you paying attention? The secret to the secret to the secret. Ears open wide. This is going to sound very simple, but it's very important. When you are acting on your passion, you must also be passionate about being passionate, which many of you are not. When you search for your passion, and then you find something, or you recognize the idea of looking around at any given moment for what excites you the most at that moment, and many of you make an attempt, many of you make an application, many of you do an act, there will still be, according to many of your belief systems, those moments when you go back into, when you choose to go back into many of your negative beliefs, many of your negative feelings, many of your negative thoughts, the things you don't prefer. And this is where it is most crucial to remember that you must also be passionate about being passionate in order to really allow your passion to work. And what this simply means is you don't ever give up. You, at any given moment that you feel yourself waning, look around and use your imagination and create for yourself in that moment an action and a behavior that will take you back into your passion. You must, in that sense, exhibit passion in order to create passion. When you see someone who is truly driven, truly passionate about something, you literally see that they are hungry for this manifestation. They are driven. They are obsessed with it. You have now at your disposal, as we said, this tool called The Secret and many other tools. Doesn't have to be this, but it's readily available to you all in a very convenient form, so it can be this. If you are sitting around looking at your life, looking to be passionate about something, and wondering how to be passionate about being passionate, the idea, again, to recognize is that when you see people who truly are passionate, they are driven at every level, at every stage. So, if it's really that important to you, if it's really that important to you to create the reality you say you prefer, you will do what it takes. You will do anything. You will be hungry to create a vibration of passion within you all the time. Which means that if you have any kind of permission slip or tool available to you, you will use it as often as you can. You will inundate yourself with it until there can be no other thought, until there is no other choice. If you find yourself one day feeling that your energy is waning, listen, put on your headphones and listen to The Secret again. If the next day you find your energy is waning, put on your headphones and listen to it again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Until you get it. Until it sinks in. Until it becomes second nature. Until it becomes your first thought. Until you don't think any other way. Inundate. Immerse yourself in all the things that are of that nature, to the exclusion of all other techniques, all other offerings, all other tools. When you remember a time when you became passionate about something, anything, you couldn't get enough of it. Every day, every waking thought, you ate it, you drank it, you breathed it in. You looked for anything that had to do with that thing, to learn more, to feel more, to absorb more, to immerse yourself, surround yourself more with that idea. The idea is that that in and of itself, that activity in and of itself of immersing yourself in a passionate state is paramount. All right. Now we understand, and we know you understand, that even with this knowledge, there will still be portions of your mind, portions of your physical mind going, oh no, no, that's just too much. So be it. That's your choice. Many of you have been taught to believe that your physical mind is in charge, that it's supposed to control everything and figure out how everything is supposed to happen in order for everything to work. But you heard in the recording, and you heard us say last night of your time, that this is not your job description. Your physical mind is not designed to understand how things happen. It is only designed to perceive how things happened. It is not designed to perceive how things will happen. It is only designed to perceive how things happened. The higher self, that level just above physical reality that is also part of your personal being, is the level of your being that has the ability to understand how things happen. And that's why you heard us say and the secret say, you don't have to worry, you don't have to focus on how something will come about. There is no way for you to know. It's not within the capacity of your physical mind to know that. It's only within the capacity of your physical mind to see how it did occur, but not how it will occur. The knowledge of how it will occur comes from your higher self, not from your physical mind. As we said last night of your time, again, pay attention, very crucial. The higher self conceives. The physical brain receives. The physical personality mind perceives. The physical personality mind does not conceive of anything. The physical mind is not capable of generating an idea, not one. Not one. Any idea you have ever had has never come from your physical mind. Not one. It can only perceive the result of the idea that was received by the brain from the conception of the higher self. The higher self is the you that is on the mountaintop, that has the big picture, that has the far view, that can look down at the physical mind in the valley and say, the road is this way. I'm telling you, turn left. I know you think you're supposed to turn right because you think you're in charge, but I'm telling you, turn left. All you need to do is what? Trust me that I'm telling you the truth. Why would I do anything different? I'm you. Your physical mind has been taught to think it's in charge and thus doesn't trust anyone else's two cents, instead of thinking that your higher self is trying to deceive you, trying to trick you. Can't listen to that guy, that gal. What does he know? What does she know about being down here in the valley? A lot. One of the things that stops many of you from having the experiences that were described in the recording is that, for example, when someone says, well, you know, I simply got into the state where I believed I would simply receive more checks, your physical, logical, reasonable mind goes, well, where the heck are they supposed to come from? I haven't done anything to earn that money. What are you saying? That some stranger just suddenly going to get into his head to pop a check in the mail to me for no reason whatsoever, and I'm just going to go to my mailbox and open a check that comes from a total stranger that's suddenly giving me exactly what I want? Yes! Yes, that is what's being said. Yes, that is one possible way. Yes, that is one possible example of what could happen. But when your logical, reasonable, physical mind going, how does that make any sense? The thing to remind it is that it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to make sense. When you stop needing it to make sense, then you'll make dollars. You have got to give up. You've got to give up your need, your physical mind's need, for everything to have a reason, for everything to make logical sense in the physical third-dimensional world. If you say you wish to live in fourth-density reality, you must give up the things that are commensurate with the three-dimensional world, such as logic, reason, not totally. I'm not saying be willy-nilly, fly by the seat of your pants people. I'm saying be aware of the fact that these things are simply points of view, and that you often stop yourself from allowing these things to come to you because you logic them to death. You detail them to death, literally. You look for a chain of reasonable connection. And believe me, in fourth density reality, there are many chains that to a third density mind are not reasonable or rational at all. You have asked us, how do we travel from star to star? And we have explained to you, we don't travel from star to star. We're simply here, then we're simply there. The logical mind boggles. But how did you get there? How is it possible to go from here to there without stepping on all the places in between? That's not rational. That's not logical. Yes, it is from a different point of view. I'm talking about not abandoning logic. I'm talking about higher logic. The logic that comes from standing on the mountaintop where you can see the entire valley, the entire network, and where it makes sense to you on the mountaintop to say, if you actually go back three steps and then to the left, you're actually going to get there more quickly than if you just go straight ahead. Whereas down in the valley, the logical mind self is going, but everyone knows the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And if I go backwards, how can I get there sooner than if I go forward? How? And the higher self goes, ugh. Change is the only constant. So in that sense, when you become more playful, you become more changeable. And as a result, your physical reality will mirror that changeability. Become easier to transform from one kind of reflection to another. Now, very important. This is where physical mind, once again, can sometimes get caught up in its own sense of control. And that is that when we talk about the idea that what you put out is what you get back, the physical mind, because, again, of how it looks at physical reality being the only thing there is, will assume that if it doesn't see an exact one-to-one reflection in the circumstances that surround you with what it is you believe you're giving off, you will think that something has failed. Again, I remind you, this is where you get caught in your own paradoxical trap. Even though it is true that what you put out is what you get back, and that by being in a certain state of being, that will determine what the circumstances around you are, the first stage of that, the first manifestation of that, will be usually especially in your world of space and time, usually the first reflection will look the same as it used to. Because this gives you an opportunity to reinforce the state of being by responding to the circumstances that look the same differently than you did before, and that is where you then allow the circumstances to truly reflect that you have changed and demonstrate that you truly have changed by responding to the circumstances differently, even if they look the same as they used to. That's how it works. So first, the first reflection will usually be an echo of how it used to look. You must not respond to the echo as if that's the representation of your new state. You must respond to it, in a sense, as if you know it's just an echo, and that what you're putting out now, the new response to the old circumstances, that will solidify the vibration of your preferred state of being and truly allow the circumstances to change themselves and take their cue from the new vibration you're putting out, which is the absolute certainty that you are different. Because if you respond to the old echo in the same way you used to, you are not different. So in a sense, it's like you're testing yourself. It's like you're giving yourself an opportunity to decide whether you really do want the circumstances to change by first presenting yourself very often with the same set of circumstances to see if you respond differently to them, making a clear commitment that you have, in fact, vibrationally changed your state of being. Once you have then done that and respond differently to the same set of circumstances, then you have established that you truly have changed, and then the circumstances can reflect that change. So don't be fooled by the echo into thinking you've done something wrong by labeling it in the same way you used to. Oh, I didn't see what I wanted to get immediately. It looks the same as it did before. The same people are here giving me the same kind of feedback. I must have done something wrong, or something's not working, or you find that you're reacting to it in the same way you used to, because if you do, you have not changed. When you change your vibrational state, one of the last things to fade will be the self-reinforcing mechanism. It will present the same scenario to you once again, but it will be presented not as a concrete reality, but only as an illusion, only as an echo of what was, to give you a chance to really decide that you will break through that self-reinforcing mechanism by defining and labeling it differently than you used to, proving that you have changed, thus allowing the reflection to then truly come. That's how that works. Circumstances don't matter. Only state of being matters. And again, listen to the way that this synchronistically translates in your English language. Circumstances don't matter. They do not create materialization. Only state of being matters. Only state of being materializes experience. So, the mantra is, anytime you find yourself doubting, stuck, fearful, because of what you believe the situation is, what you believe the circumstances are, you can, if you wish, use this little reminder. Circumstances don't matter. Only state of being matters. And then choose the state of being you prefer. And then redefine the circumstances from that state of being, so that you can erase the echo and allow the true reflection to then take form from your state of being. Circumstances don't matter. Only state of being matters. Now, we apologize if what we are about to do with you, to some of your physical minds, may sound, a little cultish. It isn't meant this way. It's simply meant to express to you something very important. It's one thing very often to your physical mind when you hear someone else's voice say something. It's another when your own voice says it. So, repeat out loud after me. Circumstances don't matter.
Circumstances don't matter.
Only my state of being matters.
Only my state of being matters.
Now, do it with excitement in a calm way. Because what this begets is simple certainty. Repeat. Circumstances don't matter. Only my state of being matters. One more time. Circumstances don't matter. Only my state of being matters. One more time. Circumstances don't matter. Only my state of being matters. Understand. Understand. When you say this to yourself in your own vibrational voice, you will start to listen. Because what you're doing by making this statement is what we talked about earlier. You are voicing a message from the higher self in language the physical mind understands. And as soon as you really hear the truth in it, you will feel your entire physical being go, oh, I don't have to try so hard. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Only my state of being matters. Oh, oh, joy. What is this feeling? What is this feeling? Oh my gosh, it's so foreign. Joy? Unbridled, unconditional love and joy. I'm tingling. You know, I like this sensation. I think I'll create more of it. Now, then. We love your paradoxical language. No wonder you're so confused. Now, then. Now or then? All right. Sail with us on the ecstasy. Together, we will find and discover new shores. Our unconditional love to you all. Good sailing and good day. Shivaji. How did it go?
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com.